I'm here with Simone Steiger of the Consultative Group on International Agricultural Research and a dear friend of mine. And I'm excited to have Simone do this podcast with me about social media and international development because Simone has been a companion experimenter with much of the work that I've done. And I've done some work with her and for her. So it's great to have Simone here to tell a story about an online event that she's actually in the midst of right now. Simone, welcome.
Thank you for interviewing me.
So tell me about this GFAR consultation and tell us about this consultation.
So GFAR is the Global Forum on Agricultural Research. And as its name says, it's global and it's much bigger than the CGIAR where I'm working for. And GFAR tries to be a platform for stakeholder engagement around agricultural research for development. GFAR has become a big player in the CGIAR change process, and that's how I got kind of involved with GFAR, because they are now in charge of a very big conference next year, which is called GCARD, Global Conference on Agricultural Research for Development. What GFAR hopes to do through this conference is really influencing the way the CGIAR is doing its research so it benefits more the rural poor and more immediately and more effectively. And to do that, GFAR decided to go through a whole engagement process before this big conference in order to gather as many voices as possible from all over the globe on the issue of agricultural research for development. GFAR has 6 regional offices. So GFAR sits in Rome, but it's mainly working through its regional offices and set up 6 different consultations led by each region. All these consultations are electronic. Well, what's really interesting is from the scientific perspective, the scientists would say, oh, we are all burned out. We don't want to contribute to any consultation anymore. We don't know what they will do with our input anyway. So there is a consultation fatigue. And we went into this consultation adventure thinking that it might not be working that well because of this fatigue. But the fatigue is among scientists. It's absolutely incredible to see how people in the regions are hungry to provide feedback and input and tell their frustrations and their hope in these e-consultations. So it's a very exciting process where we have now more than 1,000 people all over the world debating on genetic modified crops, on the need of more participatory research, on the great potential of organic farming. Incredible. In all the consultations, organic farming is coming up as an alternative. On agricultural education, well, on many, many issues. It's very exciting.
What technology are you using?
So the regional offices were offered to use the FAO listservs, which is basically mailing lists. So 4 regions decided to use that. Then we have Sub-Saharan Africa, who's using D-groups because they already had a D-group set up, and that allowed them to actually invite the members of this D-group to participate in that e-consultation. So they didn't start from scratch to get their participants. And then Latin America did choose an online web-based dialogue, so it's not email-based, and they send out email per day with a summary of the daily contributions. So we have 3 different technologies.
What languages are you working in?
Latin America is in Spanish, but people can contribute in English. Sub-Saharan Africa is in English and French. And it's very nice to see how François Stedman and Myra Warperize, who are coordinating the consultation, they just said, look, Google translators and the translation mechanisms have improved so much. So we won't translate messages, but we refer you to those translation tools if you need to understand the other language, which is funny. In the Caucasus, they are using Russian and English. And there's a team of 2 who are translating the messages, which is enormous. And Asia, unfortunately, is only in English, and we couldn't get the Chinese into the picture.
The interface on these tools, are they in English or in multiple languages?
Good question. I guess in D groups, they can choose if they want French or English. But, you know, as it's only email-based, there's not a lot of interface, you know. And in the web, in the web-based Latin America, it's all in Spanish.
So the people in Latin America who don't speak Spanish just figure it out.
Well, yes, we know that the Brazilians are very used to understand. Yeah, I mean, they understand the interface because it's so similar. So we haven't had any feedback on that.
How did you design the process? Because you're the chief of this, right?
Well, I'm kind of coordinating, which means I support the region as much as they need me. So, for example, Latin America, this is a team who has done many e-consultations. They know exactly what they do. They don't need me very much. And then there are other regions, like more the Asian region, who need much more support. So what I did and used by all the region, inclusively Latin America, is that on a wiki, I gathered information that I thought were useful for them. Some examples. There's one page with full of tips for the teams who coordinate the regional consultation. So tips, what can you do before the e-consultation, during and after the e-consultation, in terms of facilitation, a little bit in terms of technical tips, but most is about how do I encourage engagement? What do I do when I have a difficult situation, if I have a dominant personality who is kind of overwhelming everybody? How can we summarize the consultations? How often should I summarize it? All these kind of things. What I did in addition is I drafted emails, like examples of how could I write the first facilitator? What should I think about? So I'm really very happy about this. All the regions took those drafts and samples, let's say, and adapted them to their needs. But it helped them, I think, to think, hey, I have to remind them what the email of the discussion list is. I have to remind them how they can unsubscribe. What could I use as a wording that is engaging for people so they feel secure in this environment? These kind of things. So I try to do very practical things. And one thing that helped me a lot is that I'm actually myself facilitating one of the consultations. So I more or less feel what the others need, you know?
So what has been the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge for me has been the success of the e-consultations, because I'm kind of obliged to read everything, and it's so much information that it's very difficult to cope with it.
When you say so much, how much?
Well, to tell you, Asia Pacific, which is one of the most active ones, I have now compiled 200 pages of text of a total of around 150 contributions in 2 weeks.
So if that's 250 pages out of 150 contributions, they're writing a lot, not just frequently, but
yes,
large volumes.
Yes. And that's also very cultural, which is for me fantastic to observe. You know, you look at the European consultation, they are very short and sharp. She likes to develop and to talk. Africans, in the Africa consultation, they are very, you know how they are flowering the contributions? It's very wordy, but it's not as long as Asia. Differences in the region, and it's funny.
There's something else that I happen to notice you did, and that is you've provided a window out from the consultations using Twitter. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, I think that's the one major thing I'm pushing for and I'm doing, because DFAT doesn't have the human resources to do it. For me, as long as people discuss in closed walls, it's not that interesting. The really interesting thing is to do cross-regional fertilization and to inform people outside the listserv. So what I do is two things. I use Twitter and I use the GCARD blog. So on Twitter, I decided to Twitter mostly quotes. So things I read that I really like, you know, that make me smile or think are important and haven't been said before, I just use a quote and Twitter it, which is the challenge is that I have to reduce it to the 140 characters. Which is a really interesting exercise to condense some longer contributions in something short. I don't know if it's really useful, but it helps me through the quotes to represent the different views. Also, the quotes are on Twitter. What I do is I use the tweets, the quotes, and structure them into headings, into issues. Mm-hmm. So for different issues, let's say, biotechnology or gender issues, I would have several quotes, which I hope will also help GFAR in other, for other communications purposes. For example, one quote, which is really nice, you know, it says, in my village, and this is in Asia Pacific, few of my classmates are still unmarried. Being in the farm-related activity, no one is coming forward to offer the bride.
Oh.
So this is the kind of things I try to capture, you know, where you have the feeling that you are on the farm with a farmer and you understand better the problems they have.
Tell me about the blog.
Yeah. So the blog is the second tool to share the consultation with the outside world, and also, you know, to really be a place where the GCAR process is kind of documented. As I said, the GCAR process is starting with this e-consultation, but it's then continuing with face-to-face meetings, perhaps another e-consultation, and then the conference in Montpellier next year. So we aim at continuing the blog towards GCAR and afterwards. And what we are doing is sharing the weekly summaries from the different regional consultations, so people don't necessarily need to read or to subscribe to the listserv. And what I also try to do is share at least one or two stories per region that illustrate the failure, success, and experience, and gives a little bit more of life to the summary.
Excellent. So, how, you know, this idea that the main consultation is on the email lists, but then there's the human process of facilitation and summarization, and then there's the sending out and reweaving on the blog and the Twitter list. How much labor do you think it takes to do something like this?
Well, we are in each region an e-consultation team of 3 to 4 people, and what is important is to have content and process people. So, I mean, I'm personally a process, a communications person, and I am for Asia Pacific doing content summaries, but you need really to have, you have to have scientists or development practitioners or somebody in the background who has also real knowledge about the region, so you can verify or check with this person. And then you need good to have a technical who can take care of the lists of problems. So mm-hmm. we have like 3 people in each region who are working together, a facilitator, a content person, and a technical person. And the content person very often is the person who did the regional review, and I haven't talked about those. For each regional consultation, they GFAR commissioned a regional review with the aim to summarize like the key issues of each region from many, many different background documents.
Did you share those reviews as the starter to the consultation?
Yes, the reviews are all on the GFAR website, and you can download them and read them and comment on them on the blog or on the listserv.
So, Simone, of the lessons you've learned, what is the one thing you'd want someone who's doing an e-consultation to consider?
Oh, there are so many. Well, let me say 2, please, Nancy, because one lesson is just for this one not enough. I would say social media is such a huge addition to e-consultations, to make most out of it and to actually like a movement of engagement. So to be able to catch attention of people outside the core group who is discussing is a huge opportunity. Yeah, my second lesson, and this lesson is much more related to the specific content or circumstances of this e-consultation, is and never think that it's not worthwhile consulting. It's not something doesn't work, but very often there are many people who are actually very eager to interact and give feedback.
And that's important not to let our fatigue exclude them.
Yes. And if you allow me, Nancy, just in order for those who like numbers, on the blog we started the blog 3 weeks ago, and we have around 250 views per day, which I think is quite good for such a short time of existence. And on Twitter, I tweeted 163 quotes in, let's say, 2 weeks, and I have 47 followers, and I started 2 weeks ago with 0. So I think that's nice too. I always do some gardening of the followers because, you know, you have sometimes followers who have nothing to do with your topic. So I look and see if these are real followers or not.
Terrific. Well, Simone, this is a great example and a story. Thank you so much.